going to be looking at Psalm 78 today, so you can feel free to go ahead and go there. Psalm 78. It's page 488 in the Bible that's underneath the seat in front of you, if you'd like to use that Bible. So it says right at the top, if you see it there, a maskil of Asaph. And we don't know what a maskil is. It's probably, maybe it's some kind of a special service that happened at the temple. So maybe not a regular service, but some kind of a special service time. And Asaph was, he was one of three guys that King David chose to be like a singer-songwriter at the temple. Literally, it's what they did. They wrote music and they wrote songs and then they sang them and had the people join in. And this psalm that is written here, this maskil of Asaph, is a call to all of God's people to trust God's plans for saving our children. So it's a call to trust what God has set up. This is God's plan. This is what He does. Trust His plans for saving our children. That's Psalm 78. So let's look at it together. Psalm 78, we're going to read just the first 8 verses. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn. And arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Amen. That's God's word for us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are appointed for such a time as this. And so we pray that You would use us in the great time of Your people, however long that time lasts, forever how many thousands of years, we have this time. And so use us, Your people, and encourage us in these days from this psalm. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was just a little kid, this is a commercial that's like probably 30 years old. And you may remember it. It was it was a Staples commercial. And I think it was like a mom and a dad, and they're kind of walking through Staples, and they're just like skipping their feet up, and they're reaching over here and knocking pencils into the shopping cart, and then they're knocking like folders and rolls of tape, and they're just all these school supplies. They're just kind of knocking them into their shopping cart, and like just like they're fairies, you know, grabbing things. They're just so giddy, happy, and like at the top it says "Back to School," and then the song in the background is "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," and so the parents are just "It's great, they're going back." So we're right on the cusp of that, right? This is the Sunday right before school launches back out. And for some of you, it is. You're like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to get a breather here. Man, I've just been, I've been busy mom, busy dad all summer. But I know that mixed in that, this is also a stressful time. Because You know, maybe you went this week like we did. I know a lot of you do. It was Meet the Teacher Week. And you walk into the schools, and it's just packed full of kids and parents. And you go, oh no, my little kid is going to get lost in here. I just know it's going to happen. No one's going to know her name. No one's going to know his name. There's so many people. And for some of you, like this, like tomorrow, for some of you, is the first day ever that you're going to drop your kid off somewhere and drive away. For some of you, it's going to be preschool. And for others, it's going to be elementary. For others, it might be middle school. And that's crazy. High school, college. And for some of you, it's your grandkids. Like, you just know, oh no, my little kid, my little baby, they're going to drop him off at school. Yes. And so this psalm is a psalm that was written about 3,000 years ago that was written to say to God's people, trust God's plan for saving your children. Trust Him. That's what this psalm is about. So I want to jump right in and ask three questions. I think they come right out of the psalm. The first one is, what is God's pattern? And then what is His plan? And then what is God's goal? So those three things, we'll look at them together. So what is God's pattern? We'll kind of pull back and just take a big view of this before we jump right in and go in an orderly way. But look at verse 3, the end of verse 3. It says, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. So you got two generations there. My father has told me. And then verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. It's very interesting what it's saying. It's calling our children, this generation's children, it's calling them their children, the children of our fathers. So there's a line there that's not broken. But we will tell to the coming generation. And drop back down to verse 5. Towards the end of that, He commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. So you've got multiple generations here. We heard from our fathers, we tell our children, and we tell them with the expectation that they will tell their children. So, like, what is God's pattern? God's pattern, just throughout the scripture, God's pattern is not to say, I think I'm going to save this person and then maybe someone over there and then just take a name out of the hat from humanity. God's pattern throughout scripture is He saves a generation. He saves families. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 59. This is the Lord saying this. He says, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. What is God's pattern? His pattern is to say, I'm going to save you. You heard from your fathers. You're going to tell your children, and they're going to tell their children about me. Years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, I sat down with a pastor, and many of you know, I didn't grow up Presbyterian, and so I was wrestling with baptism, and so I asked the pastor, I was like, you got to explain baptism to me for just a minute. And I said, you know, why do you baptize kids? And he said, because God claims the children of believers. He claimed these. Those are my kids. And I asked him, I said, yeah, but what about the kids that don't believe? They just never come back to God. And he said to me, how do you know they never come back to God? And I started thinking about that. I was like, man, and I know I've encouraged some of you with these words. We don't know what God's going to do in our children 30 years from now. We don't know. And if you think about this, this is maybe a little dark, but your kids are probably going to go to your funeral. We don't know what God's going to do at that funeral. You don't know. And you would not have, it may be that you never see their repentance. It may be you never see them come back. It may be through their sufferings, through their marriages. It may be in their old age. It may even be on their deathbeds. But that's God's pattern. God's pattern is, I want to save you, and I want to save your children. I want to save your grandchildren. That's his pattern. Now, what is his plan? Let's jump in real quickly. What is his plan up at verse 1? He says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. So what is God's plan? His plan, I'll tell you the first part and then we'll unpack it. His plan is to show mercy to sinners. That's his plan. And here's what I mean. Asaph says, it's like a call to worship. Give ear, my people. Come listen to me. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And those words sound just like what God says over and over in the scriptures. He says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Come on. That's what Asaph is saying. Come. I'm going to tell you dark sayings from of old. That'll bring them in. I mean, what dark sayings from of old? Like, what does that mean? And what that phrase means is, I want to tell you things that are difficult to understand, but when you get them, they're really good. Here's what I mean. If you look over, the rest of this psalm unpacks the things that are difficult to understand but are really good. Look over at verse 10. It's talking about the history of God's people. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders. Verse 13, he divided the sea and let them pass through it. Verse 14, in the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a fiery light. Verse 15, he split the rocks. Verse 16, he made the streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. I mean, just over and over, he's rehearsing. This is what God did. This is what God did. This is what God did. And then when you get to verse 17, yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. That's part of the dark saying. Part of the confusing thing is you go, wait a minute. He's been so good to them. Why did they walk away from him? That's what's part of the dark saying. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, they ought to be faithful to him. Go over to verse 35. He's still telling the history of God's people. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. I mean, this is the other part of that dark saying, is it's, okay, even their statement of praise to God, it says, it wasn't completely genuine. Their heart wasn't steadfast. But he was full of compassion and he atoned their iniquities. And so the confusing part is to kind of go, wait a minute, why did God do that? That doesn't make sense. He should have squashed them. They should be just smoking sneakers on the sidewalk. That's what they should be. But they're not. And so Asaph says, come, I want to tell you dark sayings of old, things that are, you're going to go, this doesn't quite make sense. But God's plan is to show mercy to sinners. A couple of months ago, I watched a video with a pastor from our denomination. His name is Tim Keller. And he was doing a seminar called Public Faith. And someone asked him, he said, and he was talking about just being public, sharing the gospel with people. And someone said, hey, my friend is not the type of person to believe in Jesus. And he said, and you are? There is no type of person that just naturally believes in Jesus. There is no, like, you have type A personality, type B personality, and type Jesus personality. Doesn't exist. Right? ISFJ, whatever your four letters are. You know, one of those letters, the J, that's Jesus, right? I'm just leaning toward, no. And I tell you that because, you know, you might be thinking right now, oh, my kid's gone. They're sinful. There's no way God can work in their life. And don't you remember yourself? Don't you remember that you weren't inclined to Him and He saved you? God's plan is to show mercy to sinners. That's His plan. The second thing in verse 4, say second part of His plan, it's one plan, but a second part in verse 4, is to actually use our mouths. Look at this, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. The word tell is, this is verbal witness. This is talking, right? We're telling them about what God has done. This isn't polling people like, hey, so what do you think you want me to teach you today? This is, hey, I'm going to tell you the great things of God. This is good news. The glorious deeds of the Lord, His might, and the wonders that He has done. I can see like an old Jewish shop. This is like 3,000 years old. I can see an old Jewish dad like sitting by a campfire with his kid. I guess it wasn't a campfire like that. It was just a fire. That's what they had. They weren't camping. That was life. They're sitting around this fire, and there's something about being around a fire. I start fires all the time in our backyard. But just seeing the glow right off of people's faces around the fire. And you start telling stories. And I mean, we will tell the generation the coming deeds of the wonderful deeds of the Lord. You can just see him saying something like, and Pharaoh was chasing our fathers. And he was getting close. And they were pinned against the Red Sea. And then, you know, and the kid's like, yeah. And then he opened the Red Sea. And then then our people got through. And then Pharaoh started coming through. And then he closed it on Pharaoh. And he's not coming after us anymore. He's not coming. He's gone. And what does that look like for us? Telling the glorious deeds of the Lord. Like, you might not be around a campfire. That would be awesome if you did. Campfires are great. But it might be like just leaning over the bunk bed. And saying, I know you're afraid, but He's not going to get you. Jesus has drowned your fears. He has overcome death. He has overcome your sins. And just telling them the glorious deeds of the Lord and the wonders that He has done. And here's the point I want to make. You might think, that's no big deal. We're just sharing the story of God. But the point is that is His plan. His plan is not to send down angels or necessarily to use great celebrities to convince us. His plan is to say, parents, I'm going to use your family devotions. Your chats on the way to the soccer practice, I'm going to use that. Your prayers before bed, I'm going to use that. That's my plan. Sunday school teachers, Pioneer Club teachers, God's plan is to use your lessons. Even outdated flannel graphs, He uses those. He uses His story. He uses His people. Your scripture memory plans, He uses those. Those who volunteer with our youth, God's plan uses those small group studies. He does. That's His plan. And church, all of us, when we gather together and we sing together on Sundays and we say the creed and we pray the Lord's Prayer, we take the supper, all of that is proclaiming the glorious deeds of the Lord. And he says, I want to use your mouth. That's his plan. Okay, so what is God's goal? That's the last thing. What is his goal? Verse 7. So that they should set their hope in God. God wants their hearts. He wants our hearts, but he wants their hearts. Set their hope in God. I want to give you real quickly an illustration of when I utterly failed to do this. Just awesome opportunity, slow pitch softball, and I just walked away as it was coming at me. This is actually Will, our oldest son, his first day of school ever. First day ever of school, and we're in the car line. And this is the first time we're ever going to drop him off somewhere. And he looks over at me and says, Daddy, I'm scared. And so I looked at Will and I gave him a litany of things that are true about him. I was like, dude, you're handsome, and he is. You're smart, and you are. You're going to be running the show by the end of the week. Don't you worry, buddy. Like, you got this. Everyone's going to love you. You're going to be getting phone numbers. Do not be afraid. It's going to be awesome. And it actually did happen. I mean, everyone made a lot of friends. It was a great, great year. But I drove away from there, and I thought, man, I told him to set his hope in himself. I'm scared. Dude, you're great. You can do this. Now, there are times we need to do that, but that's only a part of what we do. To set their hope in God. That's God's goal. And so I wrote down real quickly 9 things, just 9 quick descriptions. You might say, okay, what God? What God can they hope in? 9 things, and then 1 Old Testament story, and we're done. What God? The God that became a man, full of grace and truth. You can hope in him. The God that healed the crippled and the leprous. You can hope in him. The God who every time he taught, every time Jesus taught, everyone said, this is brilliant. No one ever spoke like him. You can trust him. The God who became sin for us. The God who rose again from the dead. The God who ascended to heaven, the God who sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, and he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. The God who is coming again to this earth, the God that you will see, and one day he will wipe away all your tears and sorrows. That's the God you can hope in, and not just kids, but adults. That is our God. I want to conclude with this. Because you might step away and say, oh man, I dropped the ball. I am always saying, go get them, Tiger. You got all it takes. You might even confess, say, I have dropped the ball in this. And I want to conclude by reading you a very brief story. It's an Old Testament story. It's 4 verses from 1 Samuel, and then we're finished. Samuel is a little boy in the Old Testament. And the Lord called to Samuel, and Samuel said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And you might think, This is all on me. I've got to get it all right. I got to make sure, but we are never missing family devotions ever, ever, ever again. Because that's the plan. That's what's going to happen. We got to make sure we're faithful to the plan. Man, take the plan and run with it. But he speaks to your children. You've heard his voice. They have heard his voice. He knows their language. He speaks to your children. Jesus is calling them. Hope in God. Hope in God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we do confess that we're very anxious. And we do tend to trust ourselves. And I pray that you would give us a great view of who you are and your good promises to your people. And put your words in our mouths. Put your words in the mouths of these children and the many others that you will bring to us. And increase the children, Lord. For your own glory, bring many to your name. Call them, speak to them. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.